If you would please open your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the 18th verse. And while you are turning there, I just want to share with you the point and the purpose, the plan here, if I can. When I began the ministry at Grace Baptist Church many moons ago, one of the guideposts that the Spirit of God laid upon my heart is expressed in the scripture in Colossians chapter 1, where it is said there at the 28th, 29th verse. And basically this is a thumbnail sketch of what I had wanted to accomplish as your pastor at Grace Baptist Church. And verse 28 says, "Whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." That was the plan. That is the plan. The 29th verse says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Now, with regard to that goal, I need your help. I need your help. I want so much, and I think I share the Lord's interest in this as well. I want to see each of you come to perfection. Come to perfection. Now I realize that that all that you're going to be is not going to be accomplished until you cross the sea and you enter into the Lord's presence. But as nearly as is possible here in planet Earth, there is a desire in my heart that for you, that you might be people of integrity, spiritually healthy, nourished up in the Word, and growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. To that end, God has equipped and placed in my heart that desire. It would be my prayer for the people of Grace, and it's a continuing kind of prayer, that once before I die, just once before I die, once before I resign this position, that I would be able to see every single member and each of our dear friends present in God's house for worship all at one time for a whole month. That's my prayer. Now, there are some reasons. When the Lord concluded the meal there at the Sea of Tiberias, when they had all dined, the Lord begins to feed his disciples, and he begins right at Peter, and he asks the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" In Corinth, where you are located, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, the question might be reversed this way: "Lovest thou these more than me?" In the 18th verse, "First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it," he said. First thing you see, born of pride, are divisions in this church, the first century church. We're not talking about the Laodicean church. We're not talking about the end time church. We're talking about an apostolic assembly in which there are divisions born of pride. And that goes back to the first chapter. They were fighting about who baptized who. Peter baptized me. Well, Paul baptized me. Well, the Lord baptized me. Partisan bickering, divisions. You know, there are divisions at Corinth. At Grace Baptist Church, we have divisions. Don't believe out of pride, and it's certainly not the same thing as the apostolic church was dealing with. But we have divisions in this sense. Some, thank God for them, some present themselves to the Lord at every worship service. Each week. For some, others, only the morning worship. There are those who see no merit in Sunday school attendance or evening worship attendance or prayer meeting attendance. We have divisions. That all militates against the ministerial effectiveness of this assembly in this community. There is, in a sense, even his, we see in the 19th verse, there are heresies among them. Literally partisanship, disunity, party factions, each taking the liberty to assign what is or is not important to them and conducting their lives accordingly without, sometimes without regard to what God's word says. And in verse number 20, when you come together into one place, he says, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Their manners betrayed the meaning inherent in the ordinance. How so? Well, verse 21 says, in eating, everyone taketh before his other his own supper. Everyone came. There were some who came before others who could not be there and literally obliterated the banquet table. And then he goes on to say and points out the excess here. Because of that, somebody's hungry. You see, the Lord's table then in the first century church went far beyond the ceremonial ritual that the modern church does. There was a literal intent to be of help to the poor folk through the church to the point where some needed to have the meal. But they had to work. Many slaves. And before they could get to the celebration, it was gone. And then, and on the other side of that, some were drunken in the church. You say, wow, that's really awesome. That's really bizarre. Hey, do you realize that today, in the year 2014, we have more churches, deacons and pastors who are starting their own breweries in the church basement? I'm not kidding you. I'll load you into my car and I'll take you around and show you. Drunkenness. Then in verse number 22, what, have you not houses to eat and drink in? And despise ye the church of God? The word despised is to think against. Think against? It manifests in itself in a variety of ways in which it brings disgrace and dishonor and shame to the church members and to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is literally the conduct and action sometimes puts people to the blush. For example, I know maybe I'm the only one in the room. I probably am. And I don't mean to use the net drag to pull everybody in and imply anything. I'm probably the only one in the room that feels this way. But I want to share my heart. When each of you pray, and I know you do, whether you come to prayer meeting or not, I know you're praying people. I know you are. But when you pray to see new faces and visitors. We've got a visitor today. We've got visitors over here today. We got visitors today. And I love that. I think that's great. And when you pray for visitors to come, and the visitors come and they enter and sit down to worship in an empty sanctuary, it's embarrassing. That's how I feel. Say, well, shame on you, Comiskey. I'm just being honest. I'm embarrassed. Shouldn't be, probably. I should rather sink back theologically into the deep recesses of the providence of God and say, well, my times are in his hand and so are theirs, so don't fuss. But I can't bring myself to do that. When you look at verses 27 and verse 29, with regard to the Lord's table, it speaks there of disrespect. Whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In verse 29, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or irreverently eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's table is more than ritual or ceremony. Its purpose is to call us back to remembrance of the Son of God crucified for our sins. That is the basis of our faithfulness to the Lord. It reflects our expectation of his promised return. For as oft as you do this, you do show forth the Lord's death. He's coming again, and he's coming again because he's alive. And every time we meet on the resurrection day, and that's not Easter Sunday, that's every Sunday, we do so with a joyful anticipation that he may well arrive while we're sitting here singing our hymns. Wouldn't that be a dandy thing? Wherefore, when you come to dine, when you come together, Paul says to the Corinthians, tarry one for another. I find that very interesting, that word, because it is an expression of the mindset of an individual who desires to be in the presence of people of like faith. Wait on them. They're coming. It'll be nice to see them again. And that, my friend, was a desire expressed in the heart and out of the mouths of people who saw each other every day. Not just once a week. Not just for 4 hours of assembly per week. That was an expression out of the mouth of a person who saw their brother every day because that's how they worshiped. The sad truth is we tarry. In this era, we may well wait forever for the brethren to come to dinner each Lord's Day. Each Lord's Day provides an occasion for a meal of the bread of heaven, crucified, raised from the dead, coming again. May I ask this question? Please think about this. Just think about this. I've spent a lot of time pondering my own heart's attitude. And oh, by the way, tonight, the evening message will be speaking about happy foot washers. And I just want to tell you that I would be pleased to wash your feet tonight. I'll be happy to do that. Now you sit there incredulously and you say, well, my feet don't stink. Really? You let me be the judge of that. I'll wash them anyway. Double the blessing if you wash them before you come. That means you don't have to do it tomorrow. You can skip a day. But what does it say for a people who do not want to worship, seemingly disregarding the potential blessings for at least three things? This is a great paradigm to think about. As we feast on the Word, and fellowship with the people of the Word, in the presence of the God of the Word, so that we may be inspired and equipped to follow the great shepherd of the sheep. What's not to like or desire? Why wouldn't a child of God want to max out on every opportunity to hear from God's Word? Can you tell me that? Why wouldn't a child of God want to max out? Say, 4 times a week is about all I can take of you, buddy. I would love... And I say this, God is my judge who knows my heart. I say this honestly and openly before you. I would love to have the honor and the privilege of sitting down with you Monday through Sunday, every single day of the week, for as long as you can take me and put forth the Word of God in your presence. I do that every day. Now, I know that God providentially hinders people. They got to go to work. There's no way of getting around that. And that's right and proper.
And there are medical necessities that come. You got to see the doctors. You got to go to the dentist. You got to get the chiropractor, some business. I know all that. But where God does not providentially determine the choice for you, why wouldn't you want to max out on the opportunities to hear God's word? It's not my word. I try to keep myself out of it as much as possible. Does this paradigm, the feasting and the fellowship and the following in worship, change simply because the time of the service? Does worship seem, is it any less worship if we meet at 8 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning? Is it not a worship service if we meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 11 o'clock, the old tried, true, traditional Baptist fundamentalist time to worship? Does that paradigm change any because we change the time? Or the frequency of worship? There are some people, I do believe, who think that whenever they come to worship on the Lord's Day, they've done their bit for God, and I'll see you again next week. Really? You say, well, that's how God thinks. After he blesses me on Sunday, I never hear from him again until the next week. And there's no evidence that he's working in my life at all from Monday through Saturday. So if he's taking the time off, I'm taking the time off. Some people think like that. That's not true. Listen, can our affection for God be authentic if we pay but minimal attention to his word? Only occasionally addressing him in prayer. Only half-heartedly and sporadically attending public worship. Finding, at the end of all that, finding but scant, if any, attraction whatever in serving the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now there are, There are four things I'll leave with you to think about, and we'll address it another time. There are four things that may assure vibrant and meaningful local church ministry, but they must be these things adapted and adopted by you. And I hope and I pray that you will give consideration to what I've just said and understand that I don't want to come across to you like a rent-a-cop who stands above you and beyond you and aloof from you. I'm not. I'm just the same as you are. And I know that you think, you're saying, well, you know, Pastor, there are some times, and I want to be, let's be honest with each other. You say to me, you know, there are some times I just don't want to come to church. Well, I feel like that too. I do. Sometimes I'd rather not. But I try to think if at all possible, were there ever any occasions where the Lord, except for the Gethsemane incident, where he maybe thought twice about coming to save my soul, to outfit me and equip me for service? No, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will. But thine be done. Four things. There must be attention to the word. Attention to the word. You've got to be into the word at home, in your closet, in the private times. You've got to get beyond the mere reading of the little devotional booklets. Well, now that's a very good thing, to place to start. But get beyond that and get into the study of the word. Determine that what you find in the word, you're going to be a doer thereof. But you've got to give attention to the word. Listen, there has to be attention given to prayer. God does hear our prayers, and he does answer our prayers, and he delights when God's people come together corporately to pray. You know, the psalmist said, Psalm 137 verse 6, he said, "Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem to my chiefest joy." And I would rephrase that in contemporary terminology with a contemporary application. Lord, for me, Dan Kaminsky, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I prefer not my church family to my chief joy. Is worship ever, ever, ever optional, my dear friends? Is the evening service just another option? Is worship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday optional? Listen, can we, dear brothers and sisters, can we afford to agree to disagree on a matter so vital to the viability of the ministry effectiveness of this church? Say, well, Pastor, you think what you will. I'll think what I want. I'm going to do what I want. You can go ahead and do what you want. Where we agree, all well and good. Where we don't, see, well, that's too bad. Or as they say in Thailand, C-H-I Dewey. Or in France, K-S-R-A-T-R-A. Listen, it all rests on this. We've got to give attention to the word and attention to prayer. And may I ask this, do we agree that God has something specific from His Word for you at every service? Now think through the implications of that if you say yes. Because you're going to want to be here to hear what He says when the book is opened. And we make it easier for you, Grace Baptist. Fundamentalists have made worship so easy and convenient. Why? We only require 4 hours out of 176 or 178 during the week. 4 hours. That sounded kind of wimpy. 4 hours. Is one's absence from worship either in the closet or publicly in the Lord, on the Lord's Day, are reflections of one's attitude every day toward worship? There's got to be attention to worship. There has to be attention to service. I thank God for the men and women who come in here on these work days and other times and roll up their sleeves and get started to sweat. And why? Just simply so that the facilities that God has blessed us with are maintained and kept attractive to make a good as possible impression on those who are outside the box, whose only contact and knowledge about Grace Baptist Church is what they see on the outside. And I thank God for others who serve, the ushers, the doorkeepers, the treasurer, and the secretary, and the deacons, and the media people, the song leader, the instrumentalists. Ask yourself, where can I serve, Pastor? What can I do? I'm thankful for the ones who clean this building. Ed and Eleanor for years kept this building sharp and maintained. Now Sonny's involved in all of that. And I don't mean to say their names and point them out to you. I'm just speaking off the top of my head. But I'm glad for people who desire to serve. But you know, there's so much more to be done. I'm glad for all of the maintenance around the building, but there's a whole community that needs to be reached. Your neighbors need the good news of the gospel. And how will you be nourished up in the Word of God if you diet? If you're on some kind of a low-cal diet of the bread of life and are content only with the minimal mealtime menu? My dear God, if we are to accomplish what the Lord wants for us to accomplish here in Katanning, we must come together every single opportunity to max out on God's Word, to determine what it is that God wants for us that day and the week to come. We can't afford not to agree on that. But if you believe in your heart of hearts that there are occasions when we meet publicly that God doesn't have anything for you, then I understand why you wouldn't want to be here. But if God providentially hinders you, you do not need to feel poorly about that. Sometimes tires go flat and motors blow up in the process. Sometimes the alarm doesn't ever go off. I understand that. Sometimes you're called out to work and you can't get away from that. And sometimes you work so hard. And you come home and sit down in your chair, you go to sleep and you can't get up. And I understand that too. And I want you to understand that way beyond what I understand, God understands. And He loves you. And I love you. And I want His best for you. Would you cooperate with me? Would you cooperate with me? Yeah, I've got that call of God out of Colossians chapter 1 upon my heart. I'd really like to get that done before I'm done here.